Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. What the hell was that? At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Live on X Spaces for the final segment of each show. Unfortunately, we're not going to be doing it tonight. You already know that if you're listening to this part of the program. A late start and a busy day. So Syracuse won our Yankee Stadium, winless in the ACC to face the 2-6, 1-3 Pitt Panthers this Saturday at 3:30. We'll hear from you and get your predictions, and we'll give you our always accurate predictions on this week's game. Coach Red coming off his first victory as a head coach. And we'll talk a little bit about that. 83-72 against New Hampshire. I don't know if there's too much to take away other than this, you know, still a young team and still learning. And not only that, but you're doing it with new players again this year. Yeah. So besides that, the game was very Syracuse, if you ask me. And I don't know what else that we would have expected it to be. So before we talk about that, there was something that was announced yesterday, that my first time hearing of it anyway, and that was the collective that, you know, we've been, ironically enough, talking about a way for fans to get involved in a collective. And I think we said a monthly subscription, a yearly fee, and well, asking you shall receive. So it's time to put our money where our mouths are. And you can even earmark your donation. Unfortunately, and the only reason I have not done this yet. By the way, if you do it before December 11th, you get matched dollar for dollar by big-time donors. Big-time donors. So December 11th, if you could get it done before then, that's going to be essential for getting that extra money that is going to be given by the donors. So with that said, there's several tiers you can do. $10.99 a month or $100 a year for the Express. The Dome Suite Dome is $25.99 a month or $250 a year. The Empire State is $49.99 a month or $500 a year, and so on and so forth. It goes all the way up to the Honor 44. In the very smallest of packages comes with, in, for $10.99 a month or $100 for a year, guys. You get free subscription to the newsletter, access to written content, a family pass of four to one meet the team event, and an annual raffle entry, and a store voucher. The Dome Suite Dome, basically same thing, except for it bumps up to two meet the team events. And then once you get to Empire State, you're at all four team meet the team events. And you're also getting a trading card pack. And then, you know, the Honor 44 is the big dog. And you're getting, you know, autographed memorabilia and passes to all team VIP experiences. So, I mean, look, this thing pays out for what it is. So, and you can go check it out for yourself. The best thing to do, I've got this very page linked straight to the socials, Facebook and Twitter. It's orangeunited.com/content/memberships. That link is directly on there. So look, This is essential. I think if we're going to sit here and bitch about it, we're all going to have to choose a level. Okay. And it is what it is.
We talked about it, right?
We've talked about it and we said, you know what? I wish they had this. Well, guess what? They freaking have it. So, the one thing I'll say, and I think, I don't know if I finished my point, that I haven't picked one yet because I didn't lock in, because it lets you earmark where you want it to go. With that said, you can't split your earmark. So you choose one or the other.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, you get to pick what sport you want to go to directly or all of them.
Okay.
So you, if you pick football, then, you know, I believe the meet the team event would be football, you know, things right. like your package would include mostly football. You know, if you're like me and, you know, I make no bones about it, I'm a football basketball guy when it comes to Syracuse sports. Of course I support or cheer, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time watching it. Right. So I would pick one or the other. And, I'm kind of on the fence and that's kind of a tough one for me. So that's the only reason I haven't done it. So, maybe you just pick, hello. That's my son.
Perfect
calling.
Timing.
That's my son calling.
Perfect timing.
Maybe you pick, you know, spread it around all the teams evenly and make it easy on yourself. But anyway,
obviously there's going to be some kinks and some tweaks, but at the end of the day, it's a step in the right direction. You know, former player, getting it set up. We'll see what happens. It's on the fans now.
Yeah. And the reason I'm late is because I was at my son's lacrosse game and I had to leave in the third quarter and they were winning 10-3. And when I left, Dylan had two goals. So I'm sure that's why he's calling. So big kid out there under the lights, I guess, tonight against Grassfield.
It's good stuff.
I'm sorry, congrats. I'm finishing this text up. So, okay, that brings us to basketball real quick. Now, like I said, I don't know what you take away from the game. It started strong. You know, you had Starling, you had Mintz pretty cutting it up and having a good time pretty much. The announcers mentioned it, and I think Coach Red talked about it briefly, but, you know, Mintz with early foul trouble in the man-to-man, we know that he is that guy. He likes to play aggressive, and he likes to draw the foul and things like that. But when he got pulled and the offense kind of slowed down, kind of everything slowed down. And I think he got pulled when he had four fouls or something like that.
Yeah.
And so everything slowed down when the offense slowed down, everything else kind of slowed down, the whole game, kind of the dynamic kind of changed. They were up by 23 at one point and ended up getting down to like eight, I think at one
six,
point,
I think
it was six. Seven. Okay. And it looked like a total Syracuse deal, but at the end of the day, I mean, I wasn't nervous or anything like that. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, the ability to be able to play man and be aggressive in that sense, but also be able to switch into something that they're already used to and that they played all of last year, I think is a positive. And I think it bodes well for us. You know, Justin Taylor, he had a couple early mistakes, but I felt like he was pretty solid. And Mintz still kind of with the outside shot a little bit shaky maybe, but that's I don't even feel like that's totally his game. I know that's what he needs to work on to get to the next level and all that, but he's so much better at trying to drive and creating contact. So, I mean, I just feel like naturally that's more of his game, but, you know, Starling, we know, can do it. He wasn't terrible. The one thing that's totally Syracuse, 5-for-21 from three. And, you know, it's kind of expected. I think that'll get better as these guys play together. But 22-for-27 from the foul line, it's pretty good. So my takeaways are this. Not much. It's a good warm-up, and, you know, I think it's good. Coach was asked about it in the presser, and, you know, if you think the turnaround to play Colgate Wednesday is good. And for this team, you know, I believe, and he says he believes it is because they're dogs. I mean, these guys are competitive. They want to play. And I think that's exactly what you got. You got a group of dogs and you got a group of competitors, and you can see it all over them. The lulls in the offense, you know, is concerning, but I'm not that concerned about it. But because it's only because we've seen it the past few years.
But it also, it's so early too.
I know,
so
and that's why it's like
it's too early to be. I mean, it's so many new pieces, right? And you got to figure out, and you got a new coach, you got different defenses. Like, there's a lot going on, you know. So, yeah.
And I don't have a montage. Nothing more I wanted than to come here with a coach montage from the first presser of Adrian Autry's first career game. And I did not have time. The show would have had to have been tomorrow, or I'd have to start it at 8 o'clock. And for most of you who already know, 8 o'clock that's night night time for me. I'm in bed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, they went really, really deep, right? I mean, you had 8 players that had at least 10 minutes and 7 who had at least 19. So, and you saw the aggressiveness. You saw the different defenses switching in and out. And, yeah, I mean, offense, they're still working on, playing together. Negative for me would be, obviously, we need to be, right? Like, that's just what it needs to be. We can't have JJ and Judah going 1 for 8 and the whole team going for 5 for 21. And then the other negative would probably be what's going on with Benny and whether or not he's going to be part of the team. But there's obviously, again, the positives when you look at how many steals we had and how we still shared the ball, even though it looked like we struggled a little bit. You know, we got 5 players in double digits, and the way that we went to the free throw line. You know, I would much rather them be aggressive and go to the free throw line 27, 30-plus times versus just taking bad outside jumpers because the shot clock's running down. So there's definitely a lot of positives to take out of it, but there are some negatives. It's just, again, you don't want to be concerned yet because it's the first game, but definitely, like, you gotta spot it out and say, okay, that needs to get better.
Yeah, first game of the season. I just don't know how much water it holds. That's all. We're going to mention it because we all watch the game, but
oh yeah,
I'm not sure how much water it holds. By the way, I've not checked Facebook. And I know these games are on ESPN Plus, but it's going to be really hard, especially during the week, to get those streamed. And I know that there's probably people asking about it, but it's tough to get those streamed during the week. So, Anyways, let's hit up some fan feedback for the game. Then we'll do a quick pit preview, pick those, and then we'll roll. I don't know if Joe has anything for Colgate. I don't.
It's Canisius.
Arts Canisius. Why I keep saying Colgate? I'm sorry.
Because that's the next one. And
okay.
That's the bane of our existence for the last 2 years.
Right. So okay. My bad. Because I think I've already said Colgate twice. But anyway.
You have.
Okay. At David Super, our buddy David has been chomping at the bit here. I think he's more of a basketball guy, very active on the socials during the basketball, but he's started to get there with football. And I think he's ready for basketball. So he says, cheers to the new season. Can't take much away from this one. So let's not overreact. Something to keep an eye on though is, that they mentioned on the broadcast might be seeing more personal fouls with the new man to man defense. Yeah. So reliable roster depth will be huge this season. Yeah. And that's, good point and good catch. I caught the same thing. Also, the ability to be able to, if you're in trouble, to do something else is big. I mean, I know most teams can do it, but I mean, Syracuse does it better than anybody. Unfortunately, you got an aggressive bunch, and then you got a 7'4" guy down low. I mean, that's
like 10 minutes though.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
But so, I mean, it was a situation where they were.
It's a matchup thing.
And, we were undersized, yeah. And we could get away with Malik Brown out there playing center.
And so, by the way, he did a good job too. He
did a great job.
So.
More confidence. You can see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud.
Still doing the same stuff, but yeah, more confidence. And we got guys that go, But again, if you're gonna press or you're gonna play man to man, then you're gonna get in foul trouble. And the one thing that I have seen based upon the exhibitions in the first game is, I mean, JJ Starling has got cardio for days. I mean, that guy, if you need him to play the whole game, he's gonna play the whole game. but we're so deep at the guard position that you don't necessarily want him to. Also, we can't have Judah being in foul trouble. I mean, Judah is obviously going to have to be in the game. He's going to be our primary scorer, and it's going to be just obviously just everyone else helping him. And so I know he wants to be aggressive. I know he's excited about playing, you know, man-to-man and picking guys up and putting pressure on him, you know, full court and stuff like that. But his offensive presence is needed. So, you know, that's obviously one thing that I do worry about. I don't want it to be a situation where, oh, it's a new team, we're not going to play the 2-3 zone, but then we get forced into it because Judah's in foul trouble. So obviously, again, one sample size, but, you know, we can only go off of the one thing that we've seen. And obviously there's going to be negatives and positives. Doesn't mean it's concerning. It's just an obvious observation from the first look.
At Q's Hoops 97, Benny and Chance not being active really stings, much less talented without those guys. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot.
It's tough. That one's tough.
I mean, I don't know which way to go with it. You're talking about two different guys and kind of blanketing the statement, but obviously, if they're both there, it's so comfortable. I mean, your depth is just. I mean,
you know. But it's also, I mean, it's different because if Benny's there and Chance is there, then how much is Taylor and Bell really playing? Especially when we get into like play and stuff like that. And I mean, I think that Taylor and Bell and both exhibitions and this one, at least one of them had, you know, they're either leading scorer or second leading scorer and had a big, big offensive push. So, I mean, in hindsight, we're never going to know. So we have what we have. We're not going to know whether or not that was going to be better or not. So Chance Wester's gone for the season, most likely, and we don't know what's up with Benny.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they keep saying broke team rules, but I mean, I don't know. Whatever, we'll find out. Or maybe we won't. Let's see, Dominic. You never know. It's a toss up.
No, you're right.
At Baptized by Fire 7. I'm usually positive and I'm excited for the win, but with the team jump shooting wasn't good. That needs to improve. At times, the offense didn't look smooth, almost rehearsed, or with no plan at all. Both of these things should fix itself during the season. It was fun to watch. Yeah, I mean, I don't get... I wouldn't be negative. I don't think that's a negative comment. He starts with saying, I'm usually positive, but that was not really a negative comment. So maybe no. He just had some... Maybe we were up by 23. He was like, maybe I can go to bed at halftime and... You know, it tightened up. Maybe that's
well. Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes exactly to what we've just been saying. Is first game, you're going to point out what you're worried about that didn't work.
And guess what? Next game, we're probably going to say, you know, second game, and we're going to say all the same shit.
Or they could still win, but like the stats would be opposite, right?
Yeah, and then it's Colgate, and then God only knows what happens there. For the love of God, please.
God, dude.
Make it happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, Nadal chimed in on Facebook. Top fan, Nadal.
Top fan, Nadal, our guy.
Pretty positive comment. I think Red is going to be able to utilize the athleticism of this team really well this year. It helps that he takes over a team filled with sophomores and experience and some really good pickups with Starling and McLeod. Once Mintz settles down a bit and stops thinking about his draft stock, he will play better.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. Does he stop thinking about his draft stock? When you pump a kid up, how does he come back down to earth sometimes, you know?
And you've seen it.
We've seen it. I mean, and it's not a character thing. It's just, it's a human nature thing. You got to stay humble through everything. And not that some guys don't do it, but you are in an interview. Every time you're on the court, you are being analyzed. You're under a microscope and important people are watching. Mm-hmm. So with that said, maybe that's a good reason to, you know, play one way or the other. Some people see it as, well, if I'm gonna take my chances, and if I make these plays, then, well, draft stock goes up. Like you said, it's very hard to control that as a coach and things like that, I think. No, our buddy Noah at Noah Blanchard 44. When McLeod was in, I think we played the best. When Benny comes back, we'll only get better. The rumors are swirling. We don't know what the hell to believe. So, I mean, we'll just wait and see what happens with Benny. Pretty in the second half, but we're undefeated and coach Autry area. Let's go orange. And we didn't hear any questions on it either, which makes me a little bit more nervous. I didn't hear it. It wasn't a question.
What?
I didn't hear a question about Benny, right?
There was one.
Was there? Okay. What was?
They said, any news on the Benny suspension? He said no.
Okay. Well, it was that quick. And that's why I didn't.
It was boom, boom.
Yeah, okay. All right. Taking after his predecessor there. So, at the Q's kid, Red gets his first win, played down our opponent late in the first half and into the second half. A win is a win. A lot of work to do, but I like what I saw when we played man early. Turned into great transition offense. And, you know, that's what the long zone can do, too. And these kids are athletic, can do the same damn thing. I mean, they have the roster to play that zone the way we used to see it. The problem is that people have changed their offense, and it's almost an outdated form of defense. So, but it, yeah, I mean, we, the transit, the fast transition offense is something we grew up watching. We've talked about it 100 times, but there was definitely glimpses of that early.
Absolutely.
In the game. So, let's see here. The OQs. I'm trying. There's a bunch of, so the, like, you get your group with the football, and then you get a group with, there's overlap, but then you get, definitely get strictly basketball guys and gals.
Yeah.
The OQs at the OQs on Twitter. I think there are a lot of issues so far on this team. Judah does not impress me at all. He's a ball hog and needs to get people more involved. I mean, that kind of is chalked up to a little bit what we talked about as far as the draft stock. But I don't think that he's, first of all, I don't think that he's unimpressive.
Right.
I mean, he's an impressive kid. And, you know, say what you want. And we talked about it a little bit last year on some of the late plays in the, at the end of games. And whether or not they were necessary or not, let's say. So
Well, I mean, and look, like, again, we talked about it, they're new, they're starting to figure stuff out. And honestly, too, when you really think about it in a competitive, you know, like a competitor's mind, so to speak, right, it kind of makes sense to come out against these New Hampshires and some of these other teams where, you know, you can go and dictate the pace, you can dictate whether you're going to the free throw line, and you're also giving out this whole, okay, like, I'm the man, I'm going to do all these things. That's going to change the way that other teams in the future guard you, right? So this might be a little bit of, you know, mental, you know, gymnastics, or a little bit of, like, chess a little bit, where, okay, I'm going to get the opponent that's coming up in Maui Invitational and Colgate and stuff like that, thinking that this is what I'm going to do. And it might open it up easier for him to, you know, dish the ball off and get easier buckets too, like when it comes down to later in the season, right? I mean, he's obviously going to be a guy that's going to go and he's going to attack the basket. But yesterday, you saw him kind of just take the fouls and go to the free throw line because they weren't helping off to allow him to get the easy pass off. Once you do that so many times, then the defense is going to adjust. So it might be something he's doing to make his job a little bit easier in the future. Something, just food for thought.
I'm going to do one more here at Greg Lita. Got to shore up the half-court offense, have an athletic team, so we should be able to keep pace with other teams in the league. Need to be efficient with our shots. Well, and that's, yeah, that's something we've battled the past couple years, is watching shots go down. Again, with the Bunnies last night in the second half, was like, come on, they're having trouble finishing. And you got the guys to do it. It just needs to happen. Sometimes you just got to throw it down. I mean, what the hell? So yeah. Anyway, any more from Facebook?
Let's see. Adrian Autry is the number one winning percentage coach in Syracuse history.
Currently.
And so that was kind of funny. And then Jake, still working on rotations, then your guards get into foul trouble. So I'm not going to bang on the defense too much, but it needs to improve fast. And Benny Williams can't guard a telephone pole, so everyone needs to step up. I don't even know what that means.
Say that one again.
The whole thing?
The last one, yeah. The last part of it.
The last part of it is, and Benny Williams can't guard a telephone pole, so everyone needs to step up.
Okay. I thought you said Benny Williams.
Which is weird because he didn't even play, so I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I know.
Unless he's just basically saying he can't play defense from last year.
I guess so. At FreeBeer77, I'm sorry, I lied. I got another one because I like the handle. Why not try McLeod at 5 and Brown at 4? Seems like our size could be a real factor against teams like this. Autry seemed intent on playing 4 guards at all times. I mean, I don't know if that works.
That's a matchup thing. I think that there was, you know, I read some stuff and heard some stuff today that and yesterday that it's one of those things where it's just tough when you have, I mean, their center was what, like that 6'7", you know, the guy that we spoke of, their main guy, Daniels there. For a minute there, he was the only guy that had any points. You know, but he fouled out, but he finished with 21 points and 7 rebounds. And it's just sometimes it's hard for those bigger guys to be able to, you know, guard those type of players because they're just a lot faster than them. So it's going to be a situation where, I mean, I don't expect McLeod to play that much if it's going to be a fast-paced game and you're playing against a team that, you know, is undersized or plays a 3-guard type, you know, lineup. So that's just kind of a matchup thing, man. There's nothing to read into with that.
All right. Well, let's look into Pitt. The all-time series between Syracuse and Pitt sits at 43-32 in favor of Pitt. The Panthers are on a 5-game win streak after pulling out a 19-9 victory at Pittsburgh in 2022. Carlos Del Rio Wilson got the start in that game last year, if you remember right. 8-23 for 120 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, though. Sean Tucker, 10 rushes for 19 yards. As a team, Syracuse had a total of 25 yards on the ground in that game. Narduzzi, he's in his 9th year as head coach of the Pitt Panthers. He's coming off a pretty good season, 9-4, 5-3 in the ACC. So far this year, Pitt is really kind of struggling, obviously, and at their 2-6 record. The highlight of the year so far, though, is a win over currently 13th-ranked Louisville. I think they were 14th when they played. 38-21. Other than that, as far as wins, you have to look at the 45-7 win over Wolford, and that was the first game of the season. So Penn State transfer Christian Vayer is now at the helm since he's been coming and going because of a hobbling Jerkovic from, ironically, Boston College. I don't know what we decided to call him. So it's hard to gauge his stats really game to game, but he is 50% on his completions for the year so far, or with 1,018 yards. He's averaging 12.5 yards a reception. He can air it out. I mean, he does have some decently, I mean, he's got some impressive numbers in certain games, but you know, I don't really know what he did at Penn State. I didn't look that far into it, but obviously, he transferred. So I figured he was probably riding the pine. As a team, Pitt is 117th in rushing yards per game. So they're 117th rushing yards per game with 102. So in case you didn't know, not exactly a ground and pound kind of team. If, you know, in fact, I think they're really not really great at any one thing. As I was kind of looking, and I've seen a couple Pitt games, and it's not like one thing that really sticks out to me that's like, wow, they're really good at that. I mean, their defense is pretty decent. They're ranked 59th in the nation in total defense, 44th in rushing yards allowed with 131 a game, and 76 in passing yards a game with 234 through the air. Question is, you know, can Syracuse capitalize on a milquetoast defensive passing game if Garrett Schrader doesn't start? I mean, that's kind of my question. And if Syracuse is going to remain one-dimensional in this game too, and it's, you know, Del Rio Wilson, it just, I don't know if I expect the same results or not. It's so hard for me to determine it, to be honest with you, Joe. Two quick notes, though. Pitt does use their tight end a little bit. Gavin Bartholomew, 6'5", 250, junior. He's got 18 receptions for 326 yards. And this game has the possibility to give a whole new meaning to the term flag football. Being that both of these teams are the two of the most penalized teams in the nation. Out of 130, Syracuse ranks 116th, and Pitt is 126th in penalties per game. Syracuse with 576 penalty yards on the season, and Pitt's got 638 penalty yards on the season. So not great for either one of these guys. So if you could play a smart, disciplined, you know, heady game, you could be the one that wins it. I think that's kind of how it feels. And obviously, you know, if you make less mistakes, you can win a game. But we saw with four interceptions last week how close Syracuse still was. And you wonder, you know, what do they have to do? I mean, they can't remain one-dimensional. And being that this team is not exactly a ground and pound team, the defense has that going for them. And so those are the things that, you know, I think can bode well for Syracuse. And it just all depends, because I don't have enough information to make a really legitimate prediction.
Yeah. I was do we even want to do predictions? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, Babers talked about the fact that he doesn't even know if either of their quarterbacks are available. So we don't even know if we're going to see a Luke McPhail.
I know, and, but you know that's bull crap too.
No, I mean, it is what it is, right? And then you...
Hold on, Joe. I'm sorry to cut you off, but why the doctor sees him on Monday and we do the presser on Monday morning is dumb then. Let's do the presser on Tuesday so we can get the answers to those questions, because that's the excuse used every time.
I was thinking that actually today when I was listening to the
press conference. Like, why are we doing this Monday morning when you know every time they don't see the trainers and the doctors till the afternoon? It's an easy out for any coach.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, when you dig down and you look at this Pittsburgh team, I'm sure they're beat up. I mean, when you look at their schedule,
they've had a kind of a rough schedule. They've had some gimmies, but
dude, I mean, when you look at our non-conference was who?
Army, Purdue,
Western Michigan,
yeah. And what was the fourth one?
The D1AA team we beat up.
Who was it? Oh my gosh, are we that bad right now?
Probably Colgate.
Colgate, duh. That's right.
So, yeah. Pittsburgh's non-conference. Yeah, okay, they had their Wofford 45-7 in week one. And then it was home against Cincinnati with a six-point loss. At West Virginia, the backyard brawl, which used to be a huge
It was, but West Virginia, rivalry. Not Still well, they're is. Not terrible.
17-6.
6-3.
Okay, they were in that one. They played against North Carolina at home, and it was 41-24. At Virginia Tech, 38-21, closer than the games that we played against those two teams. I don't know how they beat Louisville. I mean, I have no idea. And then they turn around and they lose to Wake Forest, which is surprising as well. But then they have the Notre Dame and then the Florida State game. So they could be a point now, especially after those two obviously tough games, to where, you know, maybe they're beat up and we can take advantage of them. But we don't even know who our quarterback's going to be. And we've also seen that no matter who our quarterback is, our offense has struggled against teams in the ACC.
If Garrett Schrader's taking a week off and he can come back, obviously that's our best shot. But do you think it gets better than what we've – I mean, I think it goes without saying, but some people would disagree with that, and I think those people are crazy. Do you think it gets any better than what it was when we saw him against Virginia Tech? At least there's a chance.
I mean, I think that what really needs to happen is they need to really check the play calling and what works. I think that we've seen them go towards, you know, maybe giving LeQuint more. I mean, probably the rushes that he should have gotten from the beginning of the year. Especially if what we think is going on with Garrett Schrader was going on, then you should have been leaning hard on the run game early in the season. But nevertheless, in hindsight, it's easy to say. But yeah, I think that we do see a difference. And I do think that we do see a defense, as far as Syracuse's defense, that's still going to keep us in this game. I have no idea what's going to happen whatsoever with this game. I mean, we saw Del Rio Wilson start last year against them, and I think they scored a late touchdown to kind of put it out of reach, but it was 19-9, and this game Saturday might be a lower scoring game than that.
Yeah, this Christian Vayer, okay? So I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right. Only because I watched highlights. It's definitely not spelled that way, but that's what I got off the highlights. So I was watching highlights of this guy. These are in-game highlights from this year, by the way, with Pitt.
Yeah.
And it's just game highlights. It's not like it's not like his reel. You can go to YouTube, watch ACC game highlights from any game on YouTube. He's not bad, dude. He's not terrible.
I mean, you can say that, right?
I did. I just did.
You must have watched the Wake Forest game then, because
no, I watched. He had some dynamite plays against Florida State too.
Okay, well, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is, when you look at the team, they have offensive struggles. Whether it's been
they Djurkovic. Absolutely do. Djurkovic wasn't doing good either. Dude's been battling injuries too, though.
Right, so. But either way, either of the quarterbacks, right? Djurkovic was he started 5. And the other one, the new one, started 4. Because I'm not even going to try to say his name.
I think it's Djurkovic.
But when you look at the high rushing and the high receiving in their games, there was only one game this whole season that they've had a 100-yard rusher. And there's only been one game where they've had a 100-yard receiver. And it was all in the same game against Wake Forest. And randomly, the same game that this new quarterback threw for over 300 yards in. There's been no other game where anybody's thrown for over 245. So take away the Wake Forest game, and this offense, I mean, kind of looks like ours.
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument that it's worse to some degree, because at least, like, we've had some pretty spectacular moments. I mean, I think ours is worse the past 6 games.
But they have a way harder schedule, too, though.
They absolutely do.
And let's be honest.
And how do we not know Djurkovic's name? If he's been playing for Boston College for, 3 years? Now he's playing for Pitt. I mean, come on. We got to get better than that. We have to do better.
I mean, I think that tomato, tomato.
I mean, I'm just saying. We got to do better than that. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what to expect. All I know is
I don't either. But
if we want to get bowl eligible this year, then we need this game. I mean, it's still not a mathematical thing, but from everything that I've seen in Georgia Tech and then going to Georgia Tech,
Well, they're a team that's getting better and better. By the way, I didn't even know this until just now because I wanted to look. Battery's dying. Djurkovic. He played for BC for 3 years. He was actually a freshman in Notre Dame in 2018 and 19, then transferred to BC for 3 years, then transferred to Pitt. Obviously an opportunity there with Pitt because they had, what was that dude's name from last year?
Pickett.
Was Pickett there last? No. It was the year before that.
No, Slovic.
Slovic last year. It was Pickett the year before that. Yeah. So Slovic gone. Right, he transferred to somewhere else too.
Bryce.
Okay, that's a weird
fourth
one.
Or fifth team.
Okay, so anyways, and then they lost. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have brought it up because I'm trying to remember.
Running back.
Yeah, the running back, and then there was another guy, Abandaconda, right? That was the running back.
Yeah.
Then there was another guy too. But anyways,
No, they beat us last year without him.
The receiver there, Wayne. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he had a huge game.
So yeah, he was awesome. They both went to the NFL.
The league? Okay.
Pretty sure. I could not tell you where right now. I'm sure people are Googling it, but I think they both did get drafted. You can probably look it up right now. But anyway, I am going to. You look that up. Jared Wayne.
In, Houston Texans.
Okay. Who's the other one? Rams or something like that?
Yeah.
Was it the Rams?
I have no idea.
Oh, dude, you suck. All right, whatever. Okay. Let's go back to Twitter. I don't think anybody gives a shit, actually, anyway. So
New York Jets.
The Jets. There you go. That guy was kind of a beast. I'm surprised I haven't heard his name this year.
No. What?
Have you seen these?
No, I've not seen those. Gosh. What are they?
The predictions. It's your predictions from Twitter. Okay, look. It's not great, guys. I'm trying to pick one where they, Syracuse wins, but I'm not seeing any. 2-0. Oh, all things Cuse. 2-0, eighth overtime. Stonehouse locks down the Ray guy. So, that would be a snooze fest. By the way, this game starts at 3, I think. 3:30, something like that. That would take us till about 10 o'clock. At Oil Cuse, depends on who's QB. We win with Garrett Trader 23-16. And without, we lose 27-7. F Pitt, either way, those guys are turds. Fair. Fair. I think I'm sticking with Cap on that.
I'm going to – let me roll through a couple here.
Go ahead.
So I'm just going to go through a bunch of – yeah, 40-3 Pitt. I got a who with a question mark. I got a 23-13 Pitt, 30-0 Pitt, 27-6 Pitt. If Carlos is in at quarterback, probably 49-13 Pitt. 35-9 Pitt, 27-3 Pitt, and it's basketball season.
That's Facebook. Sorry, I had to plug the computer in.
Yeah, it's pretty much Facebook. Anyway, I got one Gerard from Facebook 00. So those are the ones without any real, you know, sustenance. I got two with something. So
at our files 90, someone will win. 2-0. Another 2-0. Complete shutout in regulation. We'll go into past triple overtime, and someone will manage to trip over the goal line for a 2-point conversion to win it. That's two safeties, by the way.
Jeez.
Our boy Noah. At Noah Blanchard 44. 3-0 Cuse. It's the only way we're going to win at this point. And he laughs because all he could do is laugh because otherwise he cries. Mitch, this is going to be a shit show. At Orange Pride, Orange 44 Pride, 32-3 Pitt. I think we understand. There's not one other than Captain Patrick. Leave it up to Captain Patrick to have the only glimmer of hope in here.
I got one too.
Do you? All right. Go ahead.
Well, I got two more. So, our boy Andy, the vacuum cleaner salesman, is that what he said he was?
Yeah, Andy, yeah.
Yeah. 13-10 Pitt, the bigger question, how many people actually attend this game? 2-7 versus 4-5. Also, to be fair to Wildhack, he didn't hire Dino. He deserves a chance to bring his own guy in before anyone claims he should be fired.
Wasn't Tommy his guy?
Who?
Babers?
No.
What'd I miss?
Okay. So basically, you know how we've been banging on, you know, everyone's talking about the coach and everything like that, right? And we've been saying, you know, AD and Chancellor and everything. So Andy says, also to be fair, Wildhack, he didn't hire Dino.
Oh.
He deserves a chance to bring his own guy in before anyone claims he should be fired.
All right, I listened to half of that. Okay, well.
Is that fair? Or?
No, I disagree. I disagree because I think he's holding things back. I think he's holding resources from the team.
It's kind of where I'm at too.
Yeah. So with that said, is he sabotaging Dino? Because it sure sounds like it when you think about that.
I mean,
when you put that, puts things into perspective a tiny bit. And I don't think that's the case, guys. No. I don't. It's just playing around.
No, but if you want to look at it from that perspective, that's what it looks like, right? All of a sudden that pops in your head to where you didn't even think about that angle, right?
Absolutely, but I disagree anyway. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I
respect the opinion, but I disagree with it.
And then I got Keith. He 17 to 14 Qs. The mob plays good again, and Allen does the heavy lifting and gets two touchdowns. Del Rio doesn't turn it over and gets in position for a late field goal.
Go back to the crowd. Think about that. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like in New York City. First of all, I was in New York City not too long ago. The place is terrible. The place is awful. It's an awful place to go. It's expensive. It's just a dirty, gross place. You've got two teams battling for the bottom of the ACC. You're gonna play in Yankee Stadium. Q's fans travel, so I do believe there's gonna be a decent amount of Q's fans there, but they're not filling Yankee Stadium, so.
Well, no, but there's a bunch of fans in New York City, right?
Absolutely. So East End Bar.
They'll hit the train and go, right? But, yeah. Like, people that are traveling, like, to pay for that ticket. I mean, what is the ticket? Look at the tickets.
I don't freaking know.
Well, look. Because if you look at the tickets and then you talk about everything else, right? It's like if you talk about transportation and then you talk about getting a hotel or a place to stay around that area. I mean,
You're not going to get a hotel over there. I stayed in, when I went and saw Metallica, actually, we stayed in Staten Island. It wasn't bad. It's about 45 minutes from the city, though. About 45 minutes. 35,
45
minutes.
How much was it?
It was about $400.
Yeah.
For a bed, you know, nice bed with like a master area and then like a living room area. So like the Embassy, you know, the Embassy Suites back in the day. Did you ever party there?
Yeah.
Carrier Circle back in the day. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that.
The front living room and then the bedroom in the back.
Yeah. Okay, SeatGeek. Syracuse Pitt tickets in the Bronx. They're not bad, dude. I mean, 33, 34. All right, so... 20,
really?
Yeah, 29 on the side of the end zone. 32 on level one. 32 on level two. The home plate side.
That's like surprising.
Level two, kind of like at the 10-yard line. 33, same exact spot, other side of the field. Now,
very surprising.
Let's go to available seats. Oh my gosh. Either the tickets above, like the sections 4 and 3, aren't available, or they're just not, or they're sold out. But there's a buttload of tickets everywhere else. So, like the best ticket that I would want is probably section 2, right around the 50-yard line in Syracuse. On the, it just says team side on both sides, but that ticket's $91. And this is before taxes and fees and all that. So it's hard to say, man. This is SeatGeek. I find SeatGeek to be one of the better ones. It's where I've gotten tickets from them numerous times. So
I'll take your word for it. That's not bad.
There's a wide side to the diamond and a shallow side to the diamond. Does that make sense with the way they position the field?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the shallow side, the one I was talking about that was 91 in tier 2. You go to the other side, That's weird. And they're more expensive. Huh. I don't get it.
Bench?
I don't know. It's weird because you're not going to be near the team. Like, the sidelines are so far away from the seats.
Oh, yeah, because of the angle of the diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can get tickets cheap. $133 is the biggest, is the most expensive one I see.
Can't help you with the transportation or the lodging, but.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it, it's one of them things. I would say that for me, a Syracuse Pitt game is. Well, it's very rare that both teams are this bad. Let's put it that way.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's usually not to say that I don't want to use the word competitive, because I think it's going to be a competitive game because both the teams are struggling, but usually the teams are better and there's something to play for, although Syracuse does have a bowl game to play for still. So anyway. With that said, Joe, I got a question about the rules. You picked Syracuse to beat Boston College. I picked Boston College to beat Syracuse, but your spread's obviously closer, 29-26. I chose 28-17. You still take that? Even though you picked the wrong team to win? Is that how this is set up?
I don't think so.
So any one of us could pick the right team and the spread be way off and they win? I'm playing devil's advocate against myself now. I just want to be clear on this.
Are you confused now because I didn't argue it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you would have.
No, I'm just an honest question. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. It's a genuine question that I should have probably asked you before we came on.
I think that it's fair that the team, if you pick the right team, then you should win.
All right. Okay.
Is that not fair?
No, I think it's fair, but you were closer to the score. I mean, you were the difference in the score you were closer to. That's all. It was seven. Your difference was three.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. Anyways, with that said, 5-4, I'm leading. We're still going to pick this game. You can only pick it one way. You got to make that distinction before you go ahead and go. I'm going to go ahead and receive. And I don't have much else to say than what I said before, which is that Syracuse can't remain one-dimensional in this game. They're going to have to try to find something to go on through the air. I don't care. They have to devise something. Short, dink, dunk, screen passes, something to get something going. And then from there, who knows? But I don't think they're going to just be able to do it on the ground. Bodes well for Syracuse that Pitt's defense Pitt's offense is not exactly the strongest, and you still got a quarterback who has been in and out of the starting position a couple times. And the other thing is too, I tried to look. I don't know if we know who their quarterback's gonna be either, by the way. So there's that. And Jerkovic, whatever, he he knows Syracuse. He's played Syracuse, and if I'm not mistaken, he's beat Syracuse. So not that that means a ton, but it's familiarity to him. I mean, he knows he's played him. So we don't know who they're going to bring as a quarterback. We don't know who we're going to bring as a quarterback. It's in a neutral stadium. We don't know what the crowd's going to be like. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I don't know much of anything except for that they're playing and they're playing in Yankee Stadium. So look, man. I really don't know what to expect. I think that Carlos Del Rio Wilson starts. Okay. And I think, we lose 17-14.
It's fair.
And, again, I hope I'm wrong, because I hate Pitt. We're playing two of the teams I hate the most back-to-back, by the way, Boston College and Pitt. So That's it. From what I seen last week, we could have won. They're going to have to find a way to win. They're going to have to score a defensive touchdown to win this game. If they score a defensive touchdown, all bets are off. Like, they could easily win that game, I feel right. Like, I think it's almost destined.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you, bud. I mean, it's a situation where...
That's a possibility, too. Because I don't know. Have we had one this year?
Right. But, I mean, at this point, right, like, think about it, okay? I mean, I know Del Rio Wilson, he ran for a touchdown last week and everything, but, you know, he threw for 37 yards and 4 interceptions. So even if he doesn't play, I mean, if it's Schrader or if it's somebody else, I got to think that possibly not having – remember Mahoney?
Yeah, I remember Mahoney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some good games, right? Remember that crazy shootout against Pittsburgh, right?
I do. What was it, like 70-something?
76 to like 67, something yeah. stupid. But yeah, like yeah. it's tomorrow – Saturday's not going to be that, right? But
No.
Just maybe, I mean, just anything at this point. Our defense is going to keep us in it. I do think that our defense is going to make a big play. And I don't know what to expect. I know we got Luke McPhail. I know we got Braden Davis down there. Do we set him up and get him some type of game plan? I don't know.
Do we have a game plan? That's my biggest question.
But I think we're going to have a game plan. I think last week, I think we put ourselves in a good position to win that game. If you take away the specific shady penalties and the interceptions, then I thought we put ourselves in a great position.
I can't blame the shady penalties. We've overcome shady penalties. This team's not going to be able to do that, and I agree, but.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, there's certain teams can overcome penalties, and then there's other teams where you have less room for error in that room, right? If you have less talent or less people around you, then obviously your margin of error when it comes to that kind of stuff and penalties is smaller. So you got to do that. But honestly, something just tells me we win this game, and I don't know why. Maybe because we started too late and I had a couple extra beers before this. I don't know. But I'm still going to keep the homer pick. I'm going to keep it going. And I think it's going to be Syracuse 20 and Pittsburgh 17.
Okay. Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Who starts at quarterback?
Does
Schrader start at quarterback?
I think he does.
You do. Okay. Well,
I mean, look. I mean, look. I mean, think about it.
Well, okay. All right. Say what you're going to say. I hope. Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, does it?
What do you do? Do you say, okay, look, Derek?
I mean, I guess this is the big thing, right? Is does he think he has an opportunity in the NFL? And is he more worried about just getting himself right so that he can actually try to get in the NFL?
Okay.
Well, versus this is my last season. I'm going to go all out. I mean, I'm going to leave it out there. I'm not going to be playing football for the rest of my life. And I'm going to New York City to play against a rival. And I just saw what happened last week. Like, my teammates need me. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know what the mentality is. To answer that question, you'd need to be in Garrett Schrader's mind.
Right. And also, you'd need to know what his injury is. So,
well, that's, is it all speculation based
well,
off this.
Well,
I'm
right,
speculating
it is.
It's his elbow.
And so am I. But let's say it's not. It's undisclosed, which tells me it's his elbow. It's the same freaking injury. Undisclosed. Yeah. They just don't want to say it.
Right. That's...
And so, how bad is it? Do you say, okay,
look,
use
context
I'm gonna give everything I can this one game because I feel like this is a winnable game that we can, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll put the run game on priority, and if we have, if they were to put the run game on priority with Garrett Schrader in there and they had success, they could quite possibly just blow it open, I feel like. But
if that's all that they were, yeah. And then you mean, you know, it wasn't a lower body injury because he had no problem running and moving around. But yeah, I mean, it all comes down to what is his prospects? What is he trying to do? Like, if his mindset's, I got to get healthy to try to, like, what, you know, go to the combine or try to, like, make an NFL team and get drafted, which, if that's his prerogative, I mean, he's more than welcome to have that, you know? I mean, that's his career. It's his life. It's a small chance to make a crap ton of money to play a game. So if he thinks he can do that, then, I mean, by all means, I don't hate him for that, you know? But something tells me that he's just a little bit different, and I just don't know. I don't know if it's my thought process on him or if it's just me.
I think it's your thought process on his character.
I mean, but he's got great character.
Yeah.
And I think also at the same time, it's, I think, a little bit of me not wanting to have seen the last time that I've seen him play quarterback.
I was wrong.
At Syracuse.
I was wrong about Schrader last week. Thought for sure he'd play. I could be wrong this week, thinking I don't think he's going to play. I mean, I've been wrong once that we know of right now. Will it be twice?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I mean, there's, everything's so, like, just, like, close to the chest, right? You don't know.
Yeah, that's what makes this so much fun, you know, not knowing anything. Yeah, and then having to come talk about it.
Right, because in my aspect, it's like, when I look at Garrett Schrader and I think about his character and, like, who, you know, he is or portrays himself as, like, he just, I don't see him as somebody that's just going to give up on a season, especially when you have a chance to, you know, I feel like he doesn't want to go out like that. You know what I mean? And if he's got a chance to go out there and battle, then I feel like.
What if they're like, look, you know, we need the most help in these last two games. Let's see what we can do and get another week to rest. And then if you're feeling good enough to go against Pitt, then maybe what we should do is give it another week so we can have you for the last two games of the season and you give it your all.
If you're going to go that route, then to me, that's, you got to play the odds. You look at it, I mean,
take the Pitt game as an almost automatic and then.
No, I'm saying, okay, so we sat last week, right? Maybe thinking that. Okay, I'm not feeling good. Took till Thursday to say, I can't do it. So he sits, and now we have a winnable game against Pitt, who hasn't done great, and then he plays against Pitt.
Georgia Tech, and then you play him against Wake Forest.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a
give him a little 2 week, get to a bowl game, and then if you get to a bowl game, now you got 2-3 weeks before you even get to that bowl game.
So the
managing the injury.
The wild card is playing Del Rio Wilson one more game somewhere.
Dude, I don't know if it's going to matter at Georgia Tech, bro.
I know, but I'm just saying that's the...
I'm not trying to even be...
And plus, Garrett would have to win. If he's anywhere where he was against Virginia Tech, then, you know...
Nah, it's not... I don't know, dude.
I'm just saying, man.
Dude, I mean, he wasn't great at Virginia Tech, but he was better at Virginia Tech than Carlos Del Rio was last week against Boston College.
I'm not saying he wasn't. No, that's, you're missing my point. I'm talking about just what we did as a team. And just if he was hurting that bad there and he still played, obviously there was a problem. I mean,
right.
You know, looking back on it, and then people called it before I did. I guess maybe I was just being hopeful and trying to convince myself otherwise, but
yeah,
you know, Jeff, he had, I think he had mentioned it before he came on the show last week and talked about it. So my point is that if we're still on that stage, does 2 weeks make a difference? Cause it'd be 2 weeks. Does it make a difference with this type of injury?
It's a pain tolerance injury,
right? Yeah. I understand that, but he had just came off of a bye too.
No, I mean, so, I get it.
I mean, it was one game after a bye, and then that was it. So, I don't know what to think, dude. The answer is, I don't know.
We have no idea. This is all speculation. So
we sound so stupid. We got nothing.
No, I don't think so. I mean, okay. I think that these thoughts are going through all these like multiple fans, like through their heads.
I get
right?
that.
Like,
I just wish we had answers. Thing. We got no inside scoop
That's
anymore.
That's what we are. I mean, no, there's no inside scoop, but even the people that have the inside scoop don't got an inside scoop.
I think
scoop.
People have the inside scoop. They just don't report on it. They don't want to.
Maybe.
Just, they don't want to
keep it.
They don't want to
keep it.
Destroy sources, information flow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. We've always talked about we're just fans that we come out here and we talk, you know, reaction, just how we feel. And I think that a lot of what we think are very close to what a lot of other fans think, minus a certain other type of fan. So, you know, we try to stay positive, and there's some that are pushing towards, you know, getting back to the fire Pasqualoni, just burn the whole thing down. I don't know.
Dom. Terrible.
Dom.
Terrible.
Unbelievable.
Person.
Yeah.
Call
Zuckerberg.
For violence.
Zuckerberg tore his ACL and he's got to worry about silencing Dom.
He tore his ACL doing what? Skipping?
Yeah.
Was he skipping?
It was
was he playing hopscotch?
Funny. Joe, listen.
He's such a beta. Joe, that dude's such a beta. He's a rich beta,
out,
but he's
out,
a beta.
Time out. Do you remember? Okay. First off, he's trained jiu-jitsu a lot.
Is he a lizard person?
I have no idea, but
he might be.
So, dude, you remember hearing about how Elon Musk
care.
And Zuckerberg were like supposed to fight?
Yes.
Okay. So that was like a thing, right? And then it kind of like,
well,
and then Halloween
He backed out because he pushed out because Elon Musk was like he was ready to go.
Yeah. So Halloween, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan, and it actually came up, and he was talking about it, and he was still like challenging him and everything, and then. Like 2 or 3 days later, it was on the news. Mark Zuckerberg tears ACL training for MMA fight.
Yeah. You know what else Mark Zuckerberg does? Controls the freaking media.
Dude, but I thought it was hilarious because it was like, how funny is it that like 3 days after Elon Musk was calling you out on Joe Rogan, all of a sudden you have this random ACL tear for training for an MMA fight? Like,
yeah.
Elon
Musk was ready to go. And there's no doubt in my mind. He would have taken
dude,
him. He would have taken
that,
him.
That podcast is funny as hell.
I'll check it out.
It's funny.
Well, that's great, Joe. Fantastic. All right. I need sleep.
All right, dude.
I need sleep. This is look.
Canisius tomorrow.
Canisius tomorrow. We will not be back here Thursday. We'll talk about Canisius some other time.
Dude, we should handle them.
Oh yeah, by the way, do you want to say anything about it? I mean, obviously we should handle them.
No, we should handle them. They were 10-20 last year. They're not great. And just to throw a couple of things out there, Joe Girard, 1-for-5 last night, 1-for-4 from the 3-point line, and had 3 points in Clemson's win. Jesse Edwards.
Did he start?
Huh?
Did he start?
He did start.
Okay.
26 minutes. He did
okay.
start.
All
right. And Jesse Edwards started 13-13, 3 blocks.
Jeez, some shit.
You're welcome, West Virginia.
What the frick?
They won as well. So.
Boy, if only we had an answer for that last
minutes.
Year, Orange United. Where were you?
36 minutes.
He lasted 36 10. Minutes?
Dude, Jesse last year was 35 plus.
I know, but he was also a foul machine.
If he wasn't in foul
machine.
Trouble, then he was good.
Yeah, okay. All right. Look, I'm happy for Jesse. I love Jesse. I just wish.
Oh, dude. I'm going to cheer for him.
Yeah, just
and I have a West Virginia fan whose office is right across from where I sit, and he reminded me this morning.
Did he?
Thanks, man. Jesse's awesome.
Well, I don't know
Thanks.
Any West Virginia
like,
fans,
oh.
but I know Giants fans.
Look. Tommy DeVito, really?
Bro.
Tommy DeVito.
Max Crosby. First of
Max
all.
Max Crosby. Beasted, bro. Number one.
First of all, hold on. Let me start with this.
Tommy DeVito knows he's going to get sacked. He got sacked 6 times.
He got sacked 6 times, 8 total. But the two against
two interceptions.
The two sacks. Those are back to back throws.
Mm-hmm.
The two sacks against Daniel Jones were he gave up on the play. I will say that, but it is what it is. But, yeah, he was sacked 6 times. If he had not put his forearm into Max Crosby's neck when he got up one time, then Max Crosby probably wouldn't have, Max Crosby was seeing red, bro. He wanted a piece of Danny DeVito so bad.
Danny DeVito. Oh,
whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, it might as well be Danny DeVito at this
did
point.
Did you see that?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
That was effing dirty, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That was dirty. And you're going to do that to Max Crosby, bro? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, big stud. Come on, big stud. Don't mess with Max Crosby.
It's tough, dude. Like, I just don't. I have such a hate relationship for Tommy DeVito. It's ridiculous. And I wanted it to be different. I did. But now he plays for my favorite NFL team, and I just can't. You can't tell me that he's about to start next week because Daniel Jones tore his ACL, and Tyrod, he's out for at least 4 weeks. I don't.
They have to pull some Vikings shit out on that.
Dude, bro, they got to. I don't care who. Is Rich Gannon playing football?
Ryan Fitzpatrick will go back out there.
I'll take Colin Kaepernick at this point.
No, you will not.
I don't
not.
Know.
No, you will not.
Cam Newton.
Cam I'd Newton's not
Brady,
a bad choice.
Tom Brady would never play for the Giants. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't care. I'd rather Saquon Barkley just run the Wildcat the whole time.
Here's my thing. The Raiders are not that good, but their defense is good. But the Raiders are not that good. They're on a second string. Aiden O'Connell, dude.
I know. That's what pissed me off so bad because I was like, dude, he lost to Syracuse. And by the time got done with the yard work and I looked at the score, it was 24-0, and I saw something about Daniel Jones getting hurt and Tommy DeVito was in, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't, dude. They're a 17-point underdog in the NFL. They're a 17-point underdog against Dallas this week.
The Raiders' defense, I put them in for shits and giggles because, well, not – their defense is good. First of all, if their defense was this good last year, Derek Carr would have had a way better season, and don't even bring me there. But I put them in because I had the Lions' D and San Francisco's D, and they both had byes. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Who picks two defenses with both have the bye on the same week?
Hey, by the way, I just want to let you know that now that you have San Francisco's D, you can drop Detroit's defense and open up a spot because there's no reason to have any other defense.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was my first defensive pick, and the only reason I picked up the Lions was a matchup thing one time, and it actually worked out. So anyways, drop the Lions and get – the Raiders. I'm like, oh, let's see. The Raiders are playing freaking Giants. I mean, they allow like umpteen sacks a game. Let's see what happens. And they got me 24.5 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Mostly because Dan Jones got hurt, but yeah. Whatever. You got Tom DeVito in there, and then you're like, oh, jackpot.
Jackpot. Blood in the water.
I'll tell you what, whoever's got Dallas's defense this week, whoo.
Last week?
No, this week. Dallas is playing against the Giants.
Oh, yeah. That's what I should do is rotate my defenses to whoever's playing the Giants.
They beat them 40-3, I think, the first week of the season.
It's a good idea.
That was with Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Okay. All right, look, I got to go.
All right, we're good.
All right, that is going to do it for us. Look, Canisius tomorrow, followed by Colgate, followed by the Maui Invitational.
Maui, baby.
We'll get back here when we get back here. Most likely Sunday. I'll ask for your thoughts tomorrow, though. And we'll see how that goes. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.